Please report, counsel for the respondent. My name is Derek Rossman. I'm with the Rossman Law Group, PLLC, in Boise, Idaho, and I represent the appellant in this particular case. I think the court can tell from the briefing that this is a case of strict statutory interpretation. There really were no factual findings by the district court in this particular case. And that this court is really the responsibility is to perform a de novo review of the determinations by the magistrate court and whether or not the magistrate court properly interpreted and construed the statute, particularly the federal BAAA is what I'll call it in this particular case, Biomaterials Access Assurance Act.
So can I ask, and you may be jumping into focus on this, but first of all, I found it's not the first time that we've been given inartful language by Congress, but I found this one pretty dense and difficult to navigate. But as I tried to boil it down, part of the question was, could you put this implant into a body standing alone? And the way I understand it, and this has taken me a while to kind of put together, so I want you to pressure check me, you can't. That it was always anticipated that the part that Lima sold would be attached to a head that Lima did not produce. First of all, am I correct about that?
You're correct about that, Your Honor.
And then if I'm correct about that, why is that not dispositive of this case to say that Lima was a supplier and not a manufacturer because it was a component part?
Because what Lima manufactured and supplied was an implant, a medical device that had separate 510K clearance by the FDA. And so when we're asking under the BAAA whether or not what Lima supplied was in fact an implant, you have to look at that particular device. Now, if the 510K clearance included a femoral head or included acetabular lining that was not manufactured by Lima, I would not be arguing that the BAAA is not invoked in this particular case.
Mr. Rossman, is the head a separate implant?
It is, and it's cleared by the FDA as a separate implant, as is the acetabular lining.
So the two are two, goes into the hip, I guess, is one implant connected to another implant.
Yeah, the acetabulum is the socket, the femoral head is the ball, and what Lima manufactured would be what's called a femoral stem or revision femoral stem.
And in your view, can you be an implant and a component part?
Yeah, because the BAAA defines an implant as a medical device. And the FDA clears an implant in and of itself as a medical device. So it's a separate implant. That implant...
So let's talk about medical device, because I think that's part of the confusion, is that when you get to medical device, when you get to manufacturer, FDA has a whole different set of rules. And if you open up a dictionary, you might find a whole other set of rules. So we got to focus on what the language of the statute is. And as I understand, medical device is any device component of any combination product. Is that right? Am I looking at the right definition?
Yes.
But if that's the definition of a medical device, then a medical device seems like it's a component part, which then would provide immunity, because then you would be a biomaterials supplier if you're supplying a component part. So if you're, honestly, this is why the statute, I really have a difficult time making heads or tails of it, because it seems like you're going in circles when you dig in. But if what you're saying is right, medical device is a component part.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think when you construe the statute and you look at the FDCA as what is required for 510K clearance, and you look at what an implant is a medical device that you're required to obtain a federal 510K clearance for. And that the implant in this case is the femoral stem. any femoral stem manufacturer, they develop a femoral system that is designed.
I don't think that's right. I think the ephemeral stem is a component part of an implant.
I don't think there's any definition that I've seen in any case authority or under the statute itself.
Well,
separate 510K cleared implants as a single implant.
I disagree with you. The District of Colorado and Whaley held that a femoral head was a component part. It almost seems exact. Now, it's a district court. Unfortunately, we don't have any court of appeals decisions to look at. But it looks like we have a district court in Colorado who's decided it the very way I'm describing it now, which is the head is a component part. What seems to be is you've got DJO. No, they settled it out. I understand there was never a finding that they were a manufacturer, but I think they sort of saw the writing on the wall. My suspicion as I read this case is that they saw the writing on the wall that they were going to be found to be a manufacturer, or at least a likelihood that they would be a manufacturer, so they settled it out. Can you have multiple manufacturers of the same medical device?
Well, I think you can have a medical device.
Excuse me, I used the wrong term. This shows how mixed up. Of the same implant, because a medical device is different than an implant, right?
Yes, medical device and an implant, I would submit, are one and the same, because a medical device requires 510K clearance as an implant. It is a separate implant.
Now you're talking about FDA stuff. I'm talking about statutes.
Well, it's all part of the FDCA. And if you look at the definition within the BAAA of a component manufacturer, a biomaterial supplier means an entity that directly or indirectly supplies a component part or raw material for use in the manufacture of an implant. And in this particular case, they didn't design or manufacture anything for use in the manufacture of an implant. The implant itself was the femoral stem system. And they manufactured all three components.
I would agree with you if we were sitting around the table just having a conversation. Or even looking at a dictionary. But unfortunately, the statute says manufacture is any role in the preparation, propagation, compounding, or processing of the implant, which could include repackaging something. Now, I don't know what world that satisfies as a definition of manufacture, except in this statute, but that's the definition we're dealing with.
Go ahead.
Explain to me why that... And part of my question was, how do you read manufacturer? How do you read a manufacturer? Do we look to the dictionary definition, or are we supposed to be informed by this very broad definition of manufacturer in the statute?
Well, if you look at the term manufacturer, there's an exception to this statute for a manufacturer. So there is an exception to the immunity provided by the statute for a manufacturer as defined.
Manufacturer does not get immunity, right?
Manufacturer does not get immunity as defined in the statute. Now, what it says, if you read the lead-in on 1604B6, it says a manufacturer, if you read the exclusion itself, that it says that the exclusion for a manufacturer or a biomaterial supplier who is a manufacturer will not get the exception. However, they have to be a biomaterial supplier in the beginning. Opposing counsel is arguing that effectively this statute covers anyone involved in the participating in the development of an implant, and that's not what Congress's intent was.
Well, I don't know what Congress's intent was. Go ahead.
Sorry, if your position is that Lima is not a biomaterial supplier, does that necessarily mean that Lima is a manufacturer?
What it means is Lima is not a biomaterial supplier, so the statute itself isn't even in place, because a manufacturer doesn't get the exclusion or isn't excluded from the statute until they're a biomaterial supplier. So they've created this limited exception for someone that might be. Might not be really a manufacturer, might be a propagator or a preparer or a compounder that gets the FDA clearance for the particular product, and they can be a manufacturer under this statute. But that doesn't mean that there's not someone who is not a biomaterial supplier that doesn't even fall within the statute, because the statute is not even invoked until it's determined that the that the defendant is in fact a biomaterial supplier. And there are very clear and unambiguous definitions contained within the statute. For one to be a biomaterial supplier, they have to directly or indirectly supply a component part or raw material for use in the manufacture of an implant. And there's
no why aren't they doing that here? That's what I don't understand. If they were selling this saying that, hey, you can just put this in as is, if Lima was saying that, but that's not what's going on. I mean, as you just acknowledged and as DJO acknowledged, I mean, DJO went to the FDA and said, hey, here's a whole series of heads that can work with this component part that's produced by Lima. So why doesn't that just meet the definition of a component part?
Because you're not a biomaterial supplier until you supply a component part or raw material for use in the manufacture of the implant. And the manufacture of the implant is the actual construction of the implant. And there is no question, no dispute in this case whatsoever that Lima manufactured all three components of this implant. DJO even testified in the record.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
It's specified in the record at 1537-38 that it doesn't manufacture anything. It imports, it gets the clearance, it sterilizes, and it distributes. So, it might be a manufacturer for the exclusion of the statute, but that does not mean it's a biomaterial supplier.
So Lima sells their, they market it as a separate implant. Is that right?
They do.
And that's really like three different parts. It's the screw, it's the
femoral neck and the femoral stem.
And the stem, right. And so do they, I'm going to ask them this, but I want to get your position on this. Is it your view that they make the screw, they make the neck, and they make the stem?
They not only, they design it, they manufacture it, they test it, and they ship it.
Okay. And then it's sold as a implant.
And it's sold as a system, an implant system.
Yeah. Right.
All right. A separate implant.
All right. And so the question is how broadly or how narrowly we define manufacturer, and how do we define manufacturer? And do we look to the clause that talks about manufacturer and propagate and the other? Why aren't we looking at that? Because I think that's what Judge Nelson's looking at and having a hard time, you know. And you separate out and say, hey, you know, manufacturer is not defined. So you have to go to a separate definition of manufacturer, which isn't in the statute. So we go to the plain meaning of manufacturer. Am I understanding your view of this?
That's exactly correct. I would submit that it under when it provides a definition of a component part under 21-1602-1A, and it says directly or indirectly supplies a component part or raw material for use in the manufacture of an implant, we have to assume that Congress in that particular position at that particular point in describing the preemption or the scope of what is a biomaterial supplier, we have to assume that it intentionally did not include all of the different things that are added to manufacture under the FDCA section 360, such as propagate, prepare, or distribute. Congress didn't include that when it was talking about who a component part supplier is or a biomaterial supplier, and we have to assume that Congress did so intentionally. Now, yes, it created an exception to the statute if one is defined as a manufacturer, and in that section it refers back to a manufacturer under the FDCA section 360 to include these other terms. But that's not included in the first initial inquiry. This statute does not even apply until there is a determination that the defendant is a biomaterial supplier, and you have to apply a common sense interpretation of the definitions in order to do that.
And does it matter that the FDA doesn't consider Lima a manufacturer?
No, merely because the FDA is interpreting it under the FDCA, which is section 360. And under section 360, the manufacturer can be DJO because they assume those responsibilities and they are involved in more than just the manufacturing even though they're not involved in the manufacturing, they're involved in the preparation, compounding, and processing.
But would you say that whoever is a DJO manufactures, I hate to use the word, but manufactures the femoral ball, is it correct?
I don't think so. And Steve Thomas can probably clarify this. My understanding, there's nothing in the record to indicate, but okay, I think
But would you say that that's a separate implant? And if so, then whoever makes that, they also would be a manufacturer, in your view, and therefore they also would not have immunity.
Exactly. Your Honor, I think if you interpret this statute the way that Mr. Thomas is advocating, you're going to have to make the determination that the BAAA applies in every medical device product liability case. Anyone involved in the participation, preparation of a medical device is covered by the BAAA. Why do we only have five cases throughout the entire country on this? Because it is a general understanding that it only applies to biomaterial suppliers as defined in the statute. And if they're not a biomaterial supplier, which a femoral head manufacturer is not, which a femoral stem system manufacturer is not, then the statute doesn't apply. And there's no reason for it to apply. If you read the congressional purpose behind this, what the concern was companies manufacturing a piece, a component part that is used in some other device that they have no control of and being thrown into litigation.
Counsel, I totally get it. And if we were going just based on the purpose, I think you'd have a strong argument. Unfortunately, Congress muddied the waters by actually putting in some definitions that I don't think match up with what they were trying to do here. But we got to sort that out.
I would only say that if Congress has muddied the waters to the extent that there's some ambiguity here, you do have to read it in light of the congressional purpose underlying the statute. And if you read that congressional purpose, there could be no explanation as to why Congress intended a manufacturer of every component of this implant, such as Lima, to be included in that statute's immunity provisions.
All right. Thank you, counsel. We'll give you a minute for rebuttal. You've exceeded your time.
Thank you.
We'll hear from Lima Corporate.
Hello, this is Steve Thomas, Boise, Idaho, for Lima Corporate. Can the panel see me now?
Yes.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen of the court, the gateway to this statute and indeed to this appeal is through section 1603 of the Act. It has some very broad language that this chapter applies to any civil action brought by a claimant, whether in federal or state court, on the basis of any legal theory for harm allegedly caused directly or indirectly by an implant. And as far back as the complaint, there has been no allegation, no differentiation that this is an implant and that they are suing for personal injury. So we are through the gateway of 1603. And the question is, there are three statutory roles. Which one do we, Lima, fit under?
Can I ask you a question, Mr. Thomas? Are these femoral heads, such as the, you know, CoCord DJO surgical femoral head,
yes,
required for every type of hip implantation, or just the one that Mr. Connell had?
Your Honor, that would be a choice of the surgeon. If you look at ER 1486, that's the 510K application. I have it here ready to share on screen if the court will permit me to share screen.
That's not necessary for me, but if you could just tell me.
Sure, 1486. Under the 510K application, there are seven other components, quote, compatible components, which would work with this stem. There are three heads listed, including the BioLock ceramic, the cobalt chromium femoral head, which is what was used here, and also the Delta ceramic femoral head. So there's a choice for the surgeon.
And then do you agree that the head is a separate implant?
I agree these are components, that there are three major components, and that is the head,
so you disagree the top, with, and you the disagree stem. With your, so you disagree with Mr. Rossman that the heads are considered implants?
Your Honor, the head would be cleared separately. I agree with that. but the head by itself, much like the stem by itself or the socket by itself, means nothing.
Can I push back on that? Because the implant, isn't the definition of implant a medical device that is intended by the manufacturer of the device to be placed into a surgically or naturally formed or existing cavity of the body for a period of at least 30 days? And again, I just come back and say, I don't know what Congress was saying, because it seems to say everything was an implant.
Well, Your Honor, I'm glad you went there, because I think that's a critical solution piece.
Well, but I think in answer to Judge McGee's question, you sort of avoided it. I think the answer is it is an implant.
Well, I think that each one of these...
Well, you need to just say that it's an implant. I mean,
each one's an implant, which together form an implant. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
I'm just saying, I think it's an implant, but I'm not sure that answers the question of whether that makes Lima a biomaterial supplier or not.
Well, to me, the critical part of that definition that Your Honor read from, 1602 5 implant, is that it's a medical device that is intended by the manufacturer of the device to be placed in the body for more than 30 days. So it's, to me, very important that Congress has deferred to the intent of the manufacturer. And here, everybody agrees, that's DJO, okay?
So
Well, yes, indeed, Your Honor, the district court agreed, the FDA agreed, and even in their brief, if you look at our brief at pages 31 and 32, we have admissions by Mr. Rossman in open court back in Boise. He agreed, and the FDA agrees, that DJO is the manufacturer. And that's uncontested in this record. My point is, their intent is where Congress looks. And that's why ER 1486, which is the fourth page of the 510K application, is so important, reflecting their intent. It talks about these six or seven compatible components that go with this stem. And other evidence of intent on the part of DJO is in the 2009 supply agreement with my client Lima. As the record shows, that clearly says components with a capital C are being supplied to DJO by my client. And before I forget, I need to correct one part of the colloquy with Judge Merguia earlier and Mr. Rossman.
Merguia.
I'm sorry. The fact is, my client does not sell these stems in Europe. Different story, under different statute, and under a different instruction for use, which my client wrote. But in terms of selling into the United States, the answer is no. He only supplied them to DJO, which did a lot of additional work before that device was ready for implantation, including the all-important statutorily required labeling, which is the buzzword for the instructions for use. And that's the heart of this case, that this appeal kind of goes all the way around. It was aggressively over-marketed through that IFU that DJO wrote, not my client.
Okay,
I just want a quick question here. If I wanted to buy just a neck, and I think you may have answered this, but or someone, maybe not in the United States, but somewhere that you were allowed to sell to, wanted to just buy the neck or just buy the screw from the Lima implant system, as opposed to the entire system, do you sell that? Do you make those, and do you sell those?
Your Honor, you have to differentiate. I don't know what happens in Europe, and I submit it's not relevant because of the separate laws, et cetera, et cetera. In terms of in the United States, no, my client in the time period in question did not sell anything to doctors or so-called reps in the United States. They only sold to DJO, and DJO sold after it did additional processes.
But so you make your client, Lima, yes, makes the stem and the neck and the screws.
The stem and the neck. That's the distal body and the proximal body and the screw. Yes, ma'am.
That you make them? You actually make them? You don't get the screw from someone else. You make them?
As far as we can, the record's unclear, but it came from Lima. The screw.
Well, one reason, I don't want to interrupt the question, except that the screw, the magistrate judge here seemed to find that the screw was made by someone other than Lima. But my understanding is it is made by Lima. So maybe it is an important clarification.
In fairness, Your Honor, I don't think it is important. She did so fine, but in a later opinion, which is also being appealed from, she explains that that was not determinative in her decision because this device, when it arrived on the dock in Austin, Texas, it was not ready for implantation. Was not. It had a lot of other things that the FDCA requires to be done in terms of processing, labeling, sterilizing, etc. So it was not ready for implantation when it left my dock in San Daniele del Friuli, Italy. Okay. So my point is simply this. We have a statute that I concede is unique. It is highly unusual. It's been on the books since 1998. But we are inside that gateway because we have a broad opening section of applicability under 1603. We're inside that gateway. There are three statutory roles. And the question is, which one fits my client? And clearly, it's not statutory manufacturer. The FDA confirmed that the district court was right. DJO is the statutory manufacturer, statutory seller. Never has anybody alleged that we were the statutory seller, and we're not. That leaves material
supply. So can I ask a question as you go through that? So the definition of implant, when it says is intended by the manufacturer, your interpretation, or what you're encouraging us to look at for the definition of manufacturer, is the FDA's definition of statutory manufacturer.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Even though that seems inconsistent with the definition of manufacturer in the BAAA.
Well, I'm not sure I agree that it's inconsistent, but I believe that.
Well, I mean, let's right? say, I don't know about inconsistent, but I think we have to acknowledge, I think the definition of manufacturer. Just manufacturer alone is far broader than the FDA's definition of statutory manufacturer. There are a lot of individuals or a lot of companies that would qualify as involved in the manufacture of the product that would not be the manufacturer of the product.
Well, I would agree with Your Honor. I think that is true. The definition in this statute under 1602 sub 6, It contemplates at least five different processes between preparation, propagation, compounding, and so forth. And it has two other elements. You have to register and list. So that's a critical part of the definition. And it is a specialized definition for this BAAA. That is true. And that is what DJO did. It completed the manufacturing process after it got this machined piece from Italy, and including sterilization and the all-important labeling, which is the IFU, which is the heart of this case. It was over-marketed for people who were of any weight, and in fact, it shouldn't have been for heavy BMI people or active people. That was the problem, and that's why DJO settled. I want to remind the court that there are two ways that a component supplier may be liable. One is if they are required to register and list with the secretary. And here the FDA was asked that question in the citizen petition and said no. Secondly, if the component specs do not meet the contract, and in this case, the appellant has conceded that issue. And so we're back full circle to this definitional exercise, which I submit as one of semantics, and it is circular. I concede that. Now, I'm down to 3 minutes. I'd like to make a point which picks up where Judge Nelson began. In the final analysis, this case starts and ends with the term implant. Here, Mr. Connell came out of St. Alphonsus Hospital in Boise, Idaho, on April 21, 2011, with a new hip. To be precise, a new revision hip, because the first one had broken or worn out. But on April 21, he got a new artificial titanium hip implanted into his body, intended to be there for more than 30 days. It had three major components: a socket or an acetabular cup, same thing; a ball, also known as a femoral head and a femoral stem. That's what my client made. It didn't make the other two. And in his reply at page 6, Mr. Rossman concedes that point. No one would suggest that implanting a stem by itself would work. Doing so would create pain. It would not support body weight. It would not allow for motion of the patient. In fact, the patient's leg would not even be connected to the pelvis. So, a femoral stem alone is worth nothing. And no surgeon puts in just a stem into a revision hip patient. It makes no sense. It would be medical malpractice in and of itself. So statutory manufacturer, DJO, intended this stem to be a component compatible with 7 other compatible components to make up a system, a hip system. And that's what he came out with. He got a new hip. And that's what happened on April 21st, 2011. My client's entitled to the immunity provided in this statute. It was not required to register and list, and it did meet contract specifications, even though it was the plaintiff appellant's burden to adduce evidence to the contrary, and they never did so. So, all in all, it is a just result.
Can I go one step further? I appreciate how you've outlined this, but one of my concerns, I feel like we're faced with two differences. One, where an enormous number of companies get immunity, and the other one is the plaintiffs are advocating almost nobody gets immunity. And that is what it is. We'll have to dig through it. But one of my concerns is, could a physician be a manufacturer? We'd never say that sitting around a normal table, but when you get into the definitions, it's almost as though a physician, depending on which component parts he chooses, now in this case, I don't think it applies, but theoretically, a physician, depending on what he chooses to put into the patient, could become a manufacturer.
I can answer that, Your Honor. We do have in the record the delivery ticket to San Alfonso's Hospital is SCR-118, and it shows all of the components coming in with the exception of the cup, the acetabular cup. My point is that as far as we can tell, the hospital took title. The doctor never did. So in that case, I would be shocked if the surgeon could be a statutory seller, because the statutory seller is somebody downstream from the manufacturer who is taking title and then resells it. So I think not. But your point's a good one earlier, your earlier point. The way the plaintiff construes this act, nobody gets immunity. The reason I don't think the problem you voiced is applicable and happens, the manufacturing process that is called out in this statute under subsection 6 is very ornate, and it requires registration and listing. That's the one-stop shop concept under this statute that the entity to whom the FDA turns for regulatory matters like adverse event reporting, it is the 510K holder who is the statutory manufacturer. And under the statute, as the FDA said in its decision, it is the 510K holder, the manufacturer, who is responsible for the safety and efficacy of this device. And it is the one-stop shop for regulatory matters and for civil tort liability. The statute funnels all of that down to the statutory manufacturer, and he must stand and defend the product. It's sort of like a building where you have the general contractor, effectively the statutory manufacturer. He may have had a lot of subs, but he's got to stand up and defend his work as a general contractor. The difference is that so many of these component suppliers are offshore. And in 1998, Congress said, hey, these guys aren't willing to do business to sell their components to us because there's so much liability exposure. And so that's why we have a special rule in this industry. They wanted to make sure we had some components so that people could get new joints. There's a big market because a lot of folks are in a lot of pain. I can't tell from this counter. Am I over time?
You're over time. Thank you, counsel, for noticing that.
I'm sorry.
All right, rebuttal.
Yeah, thank you. I want to respond to that last point where Your Honor said that, under defendants or the respondent's position, everyone would be covered by the statute, would have potential immunity. And under my position, no one would. Well, that's not entirely true. The people who would have immunity under my argument in this particular case are those that are intended under the congressional purpose to have immunity. That's someone who supplies a screw as part of this total implant, has no control over the rest of the implant. Someone who supplies just the stem component of the implant, has no control over the femoral neck and the screw. That is what this statute was intended to cover.
I don't understand, and I don't want to take up your time, but I don't understand how the differences you just made. I don't understand where the limit is. Why is a screw maker entitled to immunity, but not someone who puts three pieces together that's still supposed to be a part of a five-part or a four-part implant that goes into somebody? I mean, isn't the question that we need to ask, was this intended to go in solely on its own into a patient? And if the answer is no, they get immunity. If the answer is yes, they don't get immunity.
I think you'd have to rewrite the definition of implant in order to come to that.
Well, I'd like to rewrite this whole statute, but we can't.
Well, yeah, and I appreciate that. But again, if you think it's ambiguous, you read it in light of the congressional purpose, and it was not to provide immunity in every medical device lawsuit. Otherwise, this statute's going to be actively involved in every lawsuit that's ever filed for medical devices. That's not what Congress intended. If you supply a screw, you have no control of the rest of that system. We want to encourage people to supply screws nonetheless. And that's why Congress defined a component part to mean a manufactured piece of an implant, not an implant in its entirety, which is what Lima manufactured in this particular case. All three components of that femoral stem system. So with that, Your Honor, I would ask that the court reverse the decision of the lower court and remand this case for further proceedings. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to both counsel for your helpful arguments in this complicated case. The case just argued is submitted for decision by the court. The final case on calendar for argument today is Cheney versus United States Life Insurance Company in the City of New York.